there. Mustering a friendly smile, Mort raised a hand in greeting. The rider did not respond. Mort tensed up again. The newspapers and the politicians liked to crow that much of the West was settled and civilized, but that did not apply to New Mexico territory. Wolves of the human variety were all too common. Hostiles and outlaws were as thick as fleas on a blue tick hound. Kit Carson had whipped the Navajos, but small war parties of young hotheads acted up on occasion. The Apaches were still to be feared, too, especially with Geronimo on the loose. Then there were the white bad men, killers and cutthroats of every stripe. It was no wonder, then, that some folks said it was crazy of Mort to build his saloon so far off the safe and beaten path. But Mort never had cotton to towns and cities, never had liked being up to his armpits in people and having to abide by a host of laws. His saloon enabled him to make a living, yet sometimes entire weeks went by when he did not see another soul. He liked it like that. Now, lowering his arm, Mort turned and went back inside. His saloon was the only one in the Nacimientos. It granted him a certain immunity from the Highline riders, an immunity Mort did not take for granted. He set the spittoon down and went around the bar. Placing his hand on the scattergun, he waited. The clomp of hooves announced the rider's arrival. Mort envisioned the man wrapping his reins around the hitch rail. Spurs jangled, and a silhouette filled the doorway. Really filled it. Mort had not realized how big the man was. Shoulders as broad as a bull's, a chest a grizzly would envy. The big man strode to the bar and leaned on an elbow. He wore typical cowboy garb. A high-crowned hat, a brown shirt, Levi's, and bat-wing chaps. Strapped around his waist was a black-handled Colt. Nothing unusual in any respect, yet Mort could not shake the feeling that this cowboy was more than he seemed.
"Morning, mister. You spooked me out there. I don't often get customers this early."
"Whiskey," the man said. Mort reached for a bottle. "I hate watered-down bug juice," the man casually commented. "The last barkeep who pulled that on me lost all his front teeth and an ear, besides."
"Oh?"
Mort reached for a different bottle. He opened it and filled a glass, all the while thinking furiously. Yes, it was common practice for saloons to water their drinks. Most folks accepted it and did not raise a fuss. He placed the glass in front of the big man and held out his palm.
"That'll be 2 bits.
The rider fished in a shirt pocket and slapped a coin into Mort's palm. In a smooth motion, he upended the glass, gulped the contents in a single swallow, then wriggled the empty glass under Mort's nose. "Bring the bottle and leave it." His ears burning with annoyance, Mort did as he was told. He recognized the signs. The flinty eyes, the hard features, the whipcord steel that lurked under the surface, waiting to spring at the least little provocation. He had encountered lobos like this rider before. To cover his nervousness, Mort busied himself cleaning glasses. The rag he used needed washing, but his customers were generally not finicky.
"How long have you been here?"
Mort looked up. The rider was regarding him with an intensity Mort found disturbing. He hoped to God the man didn't intend to rob him. Mort always dreaded that happening, and liked to imagine himself defending his property and his life with his guns blazing. But he did not make a try for his scattergun. A tiny voice at the back of his mind warned that if he did, he would be dead before he touched it. Clearing his throat, he answered, "Since 5 o'clock?
"No, I meant your place here,"
the man said, gesturing at the ceiling and walls.
"Oh, pretty near 4 years now, I reckon,"
Mort responded, and stressed the fact that if he were to be bucked out in gore, it would anger some people by saying,
"I have the only whiskey mill in these mountains."
Maybe anger them enough to treat the culprit